Chavav Amid Beis, five lines before, they're very wide lines. Amid Ula.
Still in the gambling, or we're past that?
No, we're past that already. Okay. Amid Ula said, Chavav Amid Beis, five lines before the wide lines. Amir Ula said, Machshava Miyala Safila Divititeta. Thoughts, meaning anxiety about business, makes a Jew forget Teta. Makes him forget Teta. Amir Abad Shinema, because it says, Mefer Machshvis Arumim, he abolishes the thoughts of the clever. And their hands will not accomplish Tushia. I think we said Torah is called Tushia, and therefore, by dealing with business, you forget learning. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said like this: Imasukin Lishma. If people are learning Torah for their own sake, meaning Eina Me'elis, then anxiety is not going to make them forget. In other words, if you learn Torah properly, that itself will give you a merit that even when you have thoughts of business and everything else, it's going to be okay. Shenema, because it says in the pasuk, Rabbis machshavis belevish. Person has many thoughts. Vatzas Hashem isokum, but the counsel of Hashem will stand. Eitz sheyesh, but dvar Hashem, counsel meaning Torah, that has the dvar Hashem, meaning the word of Hashem. It's learned the Shema. Talkum la'elam will endure forever, even if you have other sidetracking. Amen of Yehuda. Okay, so now that's this Gemara. Now the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. When the Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama says all the gamblings, you know, are also testified to be judges and so on. So but Rabbi Yehuda said that's only if that's your total profession, right? That's what the Mishnah said. So Amen of Yehuda, Masi, when is the Masachi B'Kuvia Pasul Eidus? This is only when it's their business. Amar Abba Loza Allah Kirab Yehuda. The Allah Zay Kirab Yehuda. Okay? That if you're a temporary gambler, you're still kosher to be a witness and a judge. It's only if you're a professional gambler. Amar Abba Amar Abba Loza. Another Allah Rabbu said the name of Rabbu Loza. Kul and Srich and Machroz the Bebezdin. In other words, like this. When does the person become not kosher to testify? All the cases in the Mishnah, the shepherds and the gan, all those things that the Mishnah mentioned, which are not kosher to testify, it's only when Bezdin proclaims that they're not kosher. But anything they testified before Bezdin proclaimed they're not kosher, then they're kosher witnesses. Okay? They need achrod to be Bezdin. When do they become disqualified? After Bezdin publicly announces they're disqualified. But before that, they're still kosher. So he says, about it, okay?
Unless their profession is to be gambling.
No. B'chlal, in order for somebody, because people need to be aware that these people are not kosher. So how do you, when do people become aware? When Bezdin announces.
Even if there's no machlokes about that.
Correct. In other words, anything they testified before they became disqualified by Bezdin, they're kosher. Anything they testify after Bezdin disqualified them, even though people say, I didn't know, it doesn't matter. Once Bezdin disqualifies them, you're disqualified. Once not. Then the Gemara says, what about a shepherd? Gemara said before that a shepherd is also not a kosher witness because they graze in other people's lands, you know, they steal. So Gemara says, Pliga ba Ravacha v'Ravina. There's an argument to Ravacha v'Ravina. Chad Omer, one opinion says, Boy Achroza, they need to be announced publicly that they're not kosher. But Chad Omer, and the other opinion says, Le Boy Achroza. No, even if Peskin doesn't announce they're not kosher. Why? Because everybody sees them grazing in other people's lands. It's a public knowledge. In other words, Bezdin needs to proclaim that the guy's not kosher for people to know about it. So obviously, if everybody knows the guy's a ganef, then Bezdin doesn't have to proclaim it. So the machlekes is about a shepherd between Ravacha and Ravina. One of them says that because the guy is a public, everybody sees him grazing in other people's lands, you don't need achraza. You don't need Bezdin to proclaim it. And the other opinion says, no, you still need Bezdin. So the Gemara asked this, one second. According to the opinion that says, you don't need a public proclamation, that makes sense, because Hainu Damer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, Stamrei Apostle. Every herd, every shepherd is apostle. In other words, he has to prove his innocence to make him kosher. So the fact that Rav said that every shepherd is automatically apostle, so why do you need the proclamation of Beis Din? Any guy who's a shepherd, everybody knows automatically the guy's a... But if you say you have to announce it, in other words, without Beis Din announcing the guy's not kosher, he's still kosher, Stamrei apostle. So Stamrei, how could he be apostle? Beis Din didn't announce. Right? How can you say he's apostle? Beis Din needs to announce it. So the Gemara answers, Stama machrizen olei. It's an assumption is Beis Din announces about it. Does Beis Din announces that the guy's a ganef, according to that opinion.
Why so, shepherd?
Because shepherd grazes the people in other places.
Why is that an assumption made automatically for all the shepherds?
Not on the cops close shepherds.
Because all shepherds, we're going to have them.
It's very
funny.
I said, let's see, prove your innocence.
They always say that the shepherd is like the most innocent type of work you could have. That's why the brothers wanted it this way. And yes,
that's a spiritual shepherd.
Always.
Avram shepherds were good.
And that's why they were
noteworthy? Yeah. Okay. So, there was a thing like this. The Gemara tells a story. Ahimatono, there was a certain gift document. So somebody gave a gift and wrote a document. Davachsimale tre gazlonim. Two ganovim, two thieves, signed as witnesses. It's a document that two Gadovim signed. So Rapapa Bashmul Achshure. So Rapapa Bashmul said, you know what? It's still a kosher document. Why? The Holy Achrizin Aleihu. Bez never proclaimed that they're not kosher. And the Gemara just said, in order, Bez has to proclaim they're not kosher. Amalei Rava. Rava says to him, what are you talking about? Nihi Debinin Achraza Begazel Drabonin. When do you need a proclamation of Beis Din to invalidate him by a rabbinic gazlan? Like gamblers and shepherds and, but, the Raisa Mimin and Achraza? A biblical ganef. You need announcing a Beis Din. It's not true. You don't need. In other words, why would you need? Our Mishnah, all the psulim in the Mishnah are midrabon. Okay? So therefore, the Mishnah says it makes sense. Because it's a rabbinic stealing, it's not so public, it's not so understood. People don't think it's such a stealing. You know, what people don't think gamblers are stealing. Tell a guy today, a gambler's a ganef. He'll say, you're crazy, I'm not a ganef. Or people lend money with interest. People don't think he's not a ganef, but that's what it's all about. But the Gemara's but a biblical ganef. Those two guys that signed a gift document, that a guy gave somebody a gift, with two biblical ganovim. So he said, why do I need Beis Din to announce it? They're not kosher. They're not kosher. Okay, so...
One of them is the guy who lends money with interest?
Yeah.
Is it possible that it is the Rabbanon?
Yeah. Because people don't look at it that the guy is stealing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the Gemara said, Amen of Nachman. And listen to this. Eichli Dover Acher Psulun Leidus. Now, Dover Acher here does not mean a pig. Usually when the Gemara says Dover Acher, it means a pig. It's a very interesting din over here. It says, a person who consumed, meaning the way Rashi learns it, a person who accepts tzedakah from idol worshippers, Psulun Leidus is not a kosher witness. If you take the Gemara is going to explain what the whole story is. Bottom line is, if you accept money from, why? Because it's a chil Hashem. Why is it a chil Hashem? So Rashi explains like this: if a guy is giving you tzedakah, that means Jews are not giving it. You're desperate. You have to take from the guy. So it's a chil Hashem that the Jews are not supporting their own.
But nowadays it's okay?
It's a whole din of shchunah. It's not so simple.
Like a telethon.
The Rambam lately, there's a contradiction in Rambam. One says yes, one says no. The Mepharshim explain what one yes, one no. Okay, we'll see that in a second. But Hani Mili, but the Gemara says like this. Hani Mili Befarhesya. That's only when you publicly take money from a guy. Avo Bitsina, like, then he's not disqualified. But Farhesya Nalam Nami Loyamar, and even publicly, when is it? The Efshaleli is Dana Bitsina, where he's able to take the money privately, and he does it publicly. Become a vaz and nafshe befehesi, and then he degrades himself publicly by taking money from the guy. Avali afshele chiyusu, but if he's not able to take it privately, the only way he'll get it is publicly, then it's his life, it's his existence, b'koch nafish. So then it's allowed. So the Gemara says though, a person who takes money from a tzedakah, from an idol worshipper, is not kosher. But again, the Gemara gives certain details. So you can take it publicly, not privately, and only if you can't live any other way. But the Gemara says over here, well, interesting, if you can't live any other way, so this applies to many institutions. They can't exist if they don't get the money from the goyim, also. By the way, this doesn't mean government funding, it doesn't mean all that stuff. No, because it's made for, that's what people pay taxes for. Yeah, it's not a chilul Hashem to getting government programs for schools and whatever it may be.
Is it only a mamish a person who's avodah zarah or like the goyim?
Here means no, it's the goyim. Yeah.
What about telethon that is publicly announced? Goy's calling and
John Voight gives money.
Bottom line is, In Tzeikh Shchunach, Tzedakah is questionable, but Lepel, everybody does. Everybody does.
Because it advertises for programs for non for the going too.
It says in Halacha that if you take Tzedakah from a guy, you should give it for Goyish needs. So if you have a social welfare program, you know, or if you take the money and pay your Goyish workers, then it might be a little different.
What about the church that pays Jews to move to Israel?
Some people say any money you can get, it's a mitzvah.
Right, this concept of that because people do it, then it's okay halachically. Or it's not okay halachically, but because people do it, then it does become okay.
No, it depends on what. Nobody says because people drive on Shabbos, you can drive on Shabbos.
So where's the line?
Because then it's not accepted as a chil Hashem. Here there's a reason for it. Right? Because a chil Hashem. Or the other person, if you take money, you're degrading yourself from idol worshippers. You're so desperate, you take money from idol worshippers. Yeah. But Lepoel, if it's not a chil Hashem, for instance, it's done that everybody does. So it's accepted. It's not. In other words, halachas that have reasons, we said that, and the reasons don't necessarily apply. So a lot of times, halacha doesn't apply because the reason doesn't apply.
So we should say it doesn't apply. Then. Halacha is that.
Well, whatever. Amen of Nachman. We're not learning Chizuk. What?
That would apply to the telephone, whatever else. No?
I said that before.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying so.
Okay.
Tell me this,
Michael. Then Gemara says, Amen of Nachman. Hachoshid al arayis koshel edus. If a person's only suspected of committing adultery or such things, he's still koshel edus. Amar the Rav Sheisha says, "Ani moi arboim bekisiv v'koshin. 40 stripes are on his shoulder, and you're making him. He's asking him, and you're making him eligible to testify. What does that mean?" The Gemara says, "A guy who's suspected, even suspected, Besnan suspects a guy that would give him rabbinic malchus, rabbinic lashes." If he did it, really, he'd either get killed or get biblical lashes. But a guy who suspected the fact that there's a rumor about this guy, you know, with the smoke, this fire, so therefore, the halacha is they would whip him. So Rav Sheisha says to Rav Nachman, you tell me a guy who's suspected in doing these sexual things, he's koshaladis. So he says, he has 40 stripes, 40 is the 39 malchus, stripes, because when you whip the guy, there's a stripe. He says, he has 40 stripes on his back, that he's guilty, and you're going to say he's kosher leidus. In other words, how can you allow somebody who's suspected to do illicit behavior when Beis Din is whipping him, so you can allow him to be kosher like this? Yeah.
Why is it called a 40 if it's only?
By the way, it's a very interesting thing. The Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that this whole thing doesn't make sense because it's exerus kosher. He says, for instance, Mechalu Shabbos, President Pope publicly, openly, not Tinik Shenishba today, that they don't know. But a guy who openly, publicly desecrates Shabbos has it done like a goy. Can't count it for a minyan, you can't give him aliyah, you can't, shechit is not kosher, he touches the wine is straight, mamish everything, yeah? Yet, pikor nefesh, saving a life, desecrates Shabbos, right? Yet, a guy who commits adultery, is not a goy, you can count it for a minyan, you can give him an aliyah, he touches your way, shechit is kosher, not a goy. Yet, he has to give up his life. So it doesn't make sense. Shabbos is so strict, it makes you a goy. Yeah, yet, you don't give up your life to desecrate Shabbos. And adultery doesn't make you a goy, yet you have to give up your life. So now the Rebbe says in Tanya, Alexei Kosovi. It's completely illogical. But the bottom line is, Rav Nachman says, a person who suspects, in other words, if he commits adultery, not suspecting, definite, then he's Rasha min HaTorah. Like we learned, a biblical Rasha, he's not a kosher witness, right? But if a guy's only suspected, Rav Nachman said he's kosher. So Rav Sheshe said to him, what are you doing? What are you talking about? The guy, he's rabbinically, he gets Malkus, so you're going to make him kosher. But Amr Rav said like this, who made that Rav Nachman, even though Rav Nachman said that a guy who's involved in illicit relations, he's suspected, is kosher leidus, but he's not by eidus isha shupasul. Not by, if to testify that, about a woman. Meaning like this. No, about a woman, that she was divorced. The mashal, a guy comes and testifies, this woman was divorced. So Rav says, Rav Nachman would agree that such a guy is not kosher to testify. Why not? He probably wants to marry her, or be with her. So of course he'll testify that she's divorced.
In Torah is not proven, not guilty until proven.
Yeah, but here there's a chashad about him.
What's a shayla?
Huh?
Because the guy did some rabbinical...
No. Avera? No, he's not... No, he's suspected of biblical sins. Right? Now, this guy... Rav Nachman said he's kosher to testify. He could testify in monetary issues and any issues, yeah? So comes along Rav and says, explains to Nachman that that's not if he testifies that this woman was divorced. Because then he's biased, because he might want to be with this woman, and therefore he's testifying she's divorced.
But isn't it even a goy accepted for a decision?
That's Mesich Lefitume. That's only when the goy was asked indirectly that he doesn't know he's testifying.
Then a goy is accepted. I'm saying if a goy is accepted, then a Jew should.
But here, this guy, a goy that couldn't care less if she was divorced, the guy died or not. And that's all because of iguna, kula reba rabban, the Gemara says. Because of an iguna that the woman shouldn't stay stuck forever. So chacham in certain cases believed, even a goy, masich lefitume, or one witness instead of two, or the woman herself is believed. A woman herself is believed to say, my husband died. Why? Why? Because if she's lying, she's going to get so doubly messed up. Because the husband can come back. Right? She's lying.
From the dead?
No, if she's lying, the guy will come back. Then, not only can she not stay married to him, she can't stay married to the guy she married. Therefore, if a woman comes along and says, my husband divorced me, enough that she produces a get, she's not believed. Why? If she says, my husband died, I want to remarry, you believe her. If a woman says, my husband divorced me, and I want to remarry, then you don't believe her. So Gemara says, why? Because if the guy shows up, she's not afraid, she'll say, no, you gave me a get. He'll say, I didn't. His word against her word. But if the guy died, if she said the guy died and he pops in, she can't say it's your word against his word. No, you say he died, I say he didn't die. So over there, we believe her because she's not going to lie. Because she'll get messed up. But by a get, why shouldn't she lie? What's the worst that's going to happen? The husband's going to come say, I never divorced you. She said, you're a liar, you did divorce. I lost the get. What do you think she says? No, they're going to say, where's the get? Well, over there, she's not believed. Because she'll lie. So Gemara says, if this guy, we're afraid, maybe this guy wants to marry this woman. So he's going to testify that she died. So then he's not believed. Yeah, the guy died, right.
And so they're conspiring with each other. They're together. They're conspiring right. To
but the Gemara says, one second. Amar Avina, or some people say it's a papa. Lay Amar on this, that Rav said, Rav Nachman said, the guy's not believed in testimony of a woman. That's only lafuke. To divorce her. I mean, that she was divorced. Hallelujah. But to testify that she got married to somebody else, then he is believed. Because he has nothing to gain from it. Right? In other words, the Gemara is explaining three levels of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said a din. A guy who's suspected in committing adultery is kosher to testify. So Rav Sheshis asked the question, doesn't make sense. Okay. But Rav Nachman says, even though he's normally believed, but he's not believed to testify about the woman. So Ravina explains, or Rav Papa explains, that's only to say she's divorced, he's not believed. Because maybe then he'll want to be with her. But to say she got married to somebody else, then he is believed because he has nothing to gain by it. Then he's believed. So Gemara says, Pshita. Of course he's believed. I'm like, why shouldn't he be believed? There's nothing to gain from it, right? If he testifies she got married, why shouldn't he believe? So Gemara says a very interesting statement. Mao de temo adifali. I would think to testify she's married is better for him. Why? Kishlema Malach says, Mayim genuvim yimtoku. Stolen waters are sweet. If the guy is such a lowlife that he'll commit adultery, he'd rather do it with a married woman. Because stolen waters are sweet. So I would think maybe that he wouldn't be believed. Right? Kamash Malan, the Kamene Kaimach Shechichalei. That he teaches that he still outweighs. Why? Because still, as long as she's unmarried, she's more available to him than if she's married. So Ravina said he's believed. But the Gemara says, I would think he's not believed, because he'd rather have him married because stolen waters are sweet. It says that when the Alter Rebbe learned with the Maggid's son, Rabbi Avram the Malach, so the Alter Rebbe taught him Nigla and the Malach taught him Chassidus. At the beginning, when the Alter Rebbe first came. So the Alter Rebbe would turn the clock back.
To learn longer
with that. And the Alter Rebbe said the best learning was that learning of the, he said, Mayim Genuvim Yim Toku, the stolen water.
Extra hours.
We tried doing that, it didn't work.
That's why he carried my watch.
He's like, forward or backward?
Forward. Forward. They say it's the Tefillin Cup was once a bringing. And there was a very geschmack of a bringing, and it was very, you know. And it came time for Mincha, but they didn't want to stop a bringing. So he, the Gachsin, turned back the clock. The Tefillin Rabbi knew that it was the wrong time. So he says, what do you think? He said, with a simple mincha, you get the essence of Hashem. Wow. He said, with a simple mincha, with a posh the mincha, you get the atzmas, you get the essence of Hashem. So it was, by the way, the Friedrich Rebbe used to do that shtick also with his father. The Rebbe Rashab had a telephone in his room, and the Friedrich Rebbe had a telephone in his room, and the Friedrich Rebbe wanted to hear the way his father davened.
That telephone?
Yeah. So he, I don't know exactly how, he picked up, he put something under the receiver to keep it off the hook, and he was able to hear the way his father davened.
But he's davened so loud?
Huh?
Davened so loud?
Yeah, he davened in his room, he davened loud. So he also said, Mayim Genuvim Yuntaku. Okay. Amen, Rav Nachman said another. Ganif Nisim ve Ganif Tishrei. Leishme Ganif. A Ganif. We'll see exactly what this means. A Ganif of crops in Nisim and Tishrei, okay, is not a Ganif. Why? Because he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. In other words, to lie in court he won't. But this he'll do because he justifies it. What's the story? So simply the thing like this. Nisan, you cut the grain. Tishrei, they say grapes are picked and the grain is brought in from the fields. Yeah? He says, the Gemara is going to explain why he thinks, listen, I'm not stealing. The Gemara is going to explain why different cases, why the guy thinks he's not actually stealing. So the Gemara says like this. Hani mili barisi. That's only a sharecropper. A sharecropper was like this. I owned a field. It was very common in the olden days. I owned the field. I gave over the field completely to you to work. And you got a percentage. The shit, the shlish, the levio, the machzik, marks, a third, a quarter, a half. Whatever deal they made up, a commission. Okay, so the guy gave, the boss, he didn't want to be bothered with it. So he gave over the field to what's called an artist, a sharecropper. He was in charge of the whole field. What was his motivation? Because he wasn't paid by the hour. Based on the production, that's how much he got. Okay, like basically a salesperson and a commission, right?
Who got the commission?
The artist. The sharecropper was on his field, no? So he got a commission.
I understand. If he sells the produce, he makes $1,000, then he gives a percentage to
the sharecropper. Or the ways it worked, the sharecropper took a percentage of the fruit. He took half the fruit, let's say, yeah? So now, if the guy took a little bit more, in this initiative, which is the time when you can take, because that's when the grain comes, or the wine, whatever, comes in, he says, come on, so he took a little bit more. It's not a big deal. He doesn't think he's real a ganif. Because halachically, in a certain dinim, they have a din of a partner. So he said, okay, so he took a little, he doesn't really mind. It's not a big deal. But such a guy is still not going to lie in court and steal. He's justifying his thing.
So next month, maybe he will balance it.
Well, I mean, we're not done yet. Only a small amount extra, not if he's supposed to get a quarter and he takes a half, and also, produce that was fully formed already. Meaning it's completed already. Now, the din is, a worker working in the field is allowed to eat while he's working. Right? So he thinks, okay, listen, I'm a sharecropper, I can eat one. So I'm eating, putting into my basket. I mean, that's basically it. Then the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says like this. The farm laborers of Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid owned land, right? And the other farm worker, one of them stole a kav, a measurement of barley, and passed it up, said, okay, this guy's not kosher to testify anymore. And the other one stole a cluster of dates, the passing of Zvid disqualified him also. Even though there were small amounts, they were disqualified. Why? Because they weren't sharecroppers. In other words, a sharecropper can justify more his stealing than a regular worker. So even though a guy took a kav, it's a small amount, let's say a pound of dates and a pound of barley. So it's considered a ganif, and he's not kosher to testify.
So a pruta doesn't play a role here at all?
Yeah, whatever it was, it doesn't matter. The Gemara just saying, the fact is, this is what he stole.
Rabbeinu, is there a monk to steal?
No. Stealing for a Jew is a pruta. Stealing of any amount of stealing for a Jew, even a half a pruta, is forbidden. But you don't have to return it if it's less than a pruta. A guy who steals any amount gets killed.
The din is a guy keeps the transgressor any of the seven mitzvahs b'nei neach, they get killed. Right? In fact, even the Rambam says...
Even a fraction of it, right?
Yeah. The Rambam writes that why was Shechem, the whole city of Shechem, obligated to get killed? Because Shechem stole, meaning kidnapped Dina, and they didn't set up a court system to punish him.
And did kill her.
No, she was a penuria. She was a...
But if a goy gives,
she was single.
We can take.
Huh?
If a goy gives, but we can take.
Gives what?
You go to a grocery store, a goy makes a mistake.
You said gives or mistake?
Gives you too much change.
Gives you too much
change. Toys is mutter. It's allowed. Okay. Unless it'll be a chil Hashem, whatever.
Somebody's watching.
Going to a supermarket and test the grape. You buy some grape, you want to take one.
Yeah, people do that all the time.
The Jews do that. They go to all the stores and the Gemara says, by the way, no, because the stores allow it.
Yeah,
yeah, but you can't go in there and have a, you know, a steak like this, you know. Officially, the store allows you to taste the grape.
Yeah.
They don't say anything. It's accepted. It's accepted tradition.
I don't think they allow that.
But that's only, by the way, officially, if you ask them, they'll probably tell you no. But they know it's done, and they don't say anything about it.
Well,
in fact, the Gemara says, it's Badan Shechna. Today we don't do it. Bloodletting. Mm-hmm. When you do bloodletting, you become very weak.
Yeah.
And you need to drink wine. So Gemara says, what happens if a guy's poor and he can't buy wine? So you can go to a lot of wine merchants, because a lot of wine merchants give you a little bit of wine to taste, wine tasting. So even though they only allow you to taste it if you're buying, because that's the purpose, and even though his intention is not to buy, because of his health, the Chachamim allowed, they can go to different places to take a wine taste from different places, that he should have enough wine for his health.
I know people standing by the tangerine thing.
Yeah, the
tangerine. What?
They say... Nuts, buy nuts.
I don't know if it's sweet, sweet, not sweet. They're having 3-4 tangerines.
That's not allowed.
And that's 3-4, but it's not going to taste the peas. No, sometimes I've seen the supermarkets, they open it up for you even and leave it out there for you to taste it.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
No. By the way, even if a worker says taste, you're allowed, then you're allowed to, because the worker has that authority from the management that he could do it. If not, he'd be fired.
Or like a candy shop, those little things.
Again, if you're really tasting it to see if you want to buy, or just go to the candy, let me taste one of each. And you know how much candy you can get? One of each. You can make a menorah from those candies. I'll tell Mendel to do it. Save money on the candy.
Or if the worker says, you know, it's $1.05 and you have $1, okay, forget the 5 cents.
Logically, the workers have that authority.
Yeah. But nowadays, with the wine tasting, everybody knows.
No, today we don't have that, because today we don't have bloodletting. But no, if a guy goes wine tasting and they have samples, a lot of times they put it, so that's what it's made for. But you can't.
But they know that
again.
Come.
You can't eat 4 tangerines if I want to taste them. Okay, but no, a lot of people taste one grape. That people do it. Is it? I guess the store officially, unofficially allows it.
But if you buy a partial from Rav, you bring it home, it's not good.
No.
You take it to another Rav.
It's all the same company.
Yeah.
It's all the same store. You can't buy it by Ralph's and go to Pavilions and give it back. No, I mean, it's not allowed. But if a store takes it back, like Costco, you could use it for 20 years and give it back, and Costco would get a refund. Not okay, but I'm saying, if you're not lying, then they're doing it. They that's their policy.
They also have insurance.
Who?
Like, I bought a juicer, and the juicer broke. They'll take it back. But Bed Bath & Beyond and Costco, they have insured themselves against the returns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have insurance.
Either they have insurance or it pays to them, just business-wise. Listen, this store is still doing well.
Oh,
No, it's because you end up buying from the store because you know you could always return it and you never return it.
Most of the time you don't return it. You're too lazy or whatever it is.
But sometimes you could use something for a couple years. It didn't break. It just broke from normal wear and tear and you can return it.
Yeah, but you can't come to the store and say, oh, I never used it and look at it. That you can't. That's lying. But if you don't say anything, you give it back, and they don't ask any questions. They say, what's wrong with it? They said, look, it's not working, whatever. And they give it back, you're fine. But you can't come along and lie and say, I took it out of the box and look at it. That's lying.
You don't have to say that.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't say anything and they take it back.
If you say that, they don't call the manager anymore.
But you can't, halachically, I'll give you another example. Let's say somebody gives you a gift.
You don't know
where they bought it.
Exactly.
Sometimes they tell you what, in case you want to return it. But they give you a gift, and you don't know where they bought it. You can't go to a store and say, I bought this here and I lost my receipt. What you're allowed to do is say, listen, somebody gave me a gift. I don't know if it was bought or not. Would you take it back? Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. But again, if they decide to take it back, that's not stealing. But the din is, tois akum, if a guy makes a mistake, a guy gives you too much change, let's say, or they undercharge you by mistake, that's allowed. But if a Jew did it, if it's a Jewish store, by the way, then you have to give it back.
Even if the worker is the goy?
Yeah, because it's not his money.
Ralph belongs to the Jews.
No, it doesn't.
Ralph
shares it. No, it's not. That's why you could buy Ralph's after Chum.
I thought it's a Jewish company.
It's a company. Ralph's owned by Food for Less, and this is owned by, there's a million companies. It's corporate, but most of them are going. Before Ralph's was bought by Food for Less, Ralph's was owned by Goyim.
It was Hughes.
People know because you know for Chumas after Pesach, what the Mestias is.
Remember Hughes?
Hughes wasn't used by Goyim. Hughes Market was owned by Hughes. It wasn't a corporation, it was owned by a family called Hughes.
So it's a chain, you have no worries. And a goy is working in a chain and he makes a mistake and there is not Hilul Hashem?
Right.
How often this happens?
You know what? Can I tell you something? These guys, because they got a nickel, you know, overtrained, they get so excited they remember it for life.
Because you want to give it to the Sadat.
You want to give
my Yeah, first thing, no, that's for a penny. You get extra pennies you put in there.
A my 7 nickel is penny.
Penny is below
puta.
It's more.
Not even a
puta. No, penny is probably less than a puta today.
Penny is less than a puta.
What lesson do you learn from?
I had to get gas, yeah? So it came out to be like 2 extra cents. You know, I gave the guy, let's say, $50 and it was $48.02. Yeah? So I gave an extra nickel. He'll give me back 3 pennies.
No,
I could sue him. I could say, what me? I could put this money in the push for the first minion.
You know, the cost of making a penny is 7 cents.
I know.
Really?
What?
Yeah, pennies, it costs more than the penny is worth.
It was going to go away.
It's supposed to stop. Okay. So no, but you know why they didn't? For the first minion. To know about it again, they'll put in 2 pennies.
So, if he gave you too much, you should still give it back to the Kiddush Hashem.
If it will be Kiddush Hashem, but if it's a big corporation and it's a different worker even than that, it's Lavdav.
What is it? Does it have to be, I mean, Kiddush Hashem?